Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
First off, I want to thank my family for all their love and support throughout this process. Layla, Knox, Landry, Presley, my children, brother Chris that's here with his family. Thank you for all the support through this process, which was not an easy one. I'd also like to thank President Wade Roos, Athletic Director Virge Osbury, Board of Supervisors Chair Scott Ballard, Athletic Board Chair John Carmouche, and Julie Cromer. I also had a unique great call with Governor Landry, and I could feel his passion and energy in that call for the state of Louisiana and for LSU football. Also, the people that reached out to me through the process, from former great, great LSU players and very powerful LSU alumni. I'm very honored to be the head coach of LSU. I can sum it up by saying this place is different. And having watched this place for a long time, having been on the other sidelines in the stadium, this place is different, and that's why we're here. We have a lot of work to do with that, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity to lead one of the elite programs in all of sports. Leaving Ole Miss was extremely difficult decision. And in that, we tried every single thing possible to continue to coach the team through the playoffs and to continue to coach the players. In the end, that was their decision, and we totally respect that and appreciate the time and energy that we tried to figure out a plan to do the best thing at the time for those players. The last 6 years of my life have been the best 6 years of my life. And I owe that to all the players, all the assistant coaches, and the people of Oxford. It was amazing. It will forever be a major part of my story. I'm so grateful for those relationships and all of those people that I got to meet. But the opportunity at LSU, as I said before, is just different. Someone very close to me reminded me this week in this decision that LSU is the best job in football. When you take the history, tradition, passion, and the great players in the state of Louisiana, no one can argue that when you're in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it. And this place is built for championships with championship expectations. We understand that. But as an elite competitor, that's exactly what you want. And that's why we're here. You know, over the past few weeks, and especially the last few days, trying to figure out this decision, and I really tried to channel my dad, and I thought of when I spoke at his funeral, and when I spoke, it occurred to me as I was writing that speech, I never understood why as a kid we moved so much, And I realized he had moved 17 times. But during that funeral and during that week when he passed, the amount of people that reached out to me that were either at the funeral, wrote letters, wrote notes to me, found my number, texted me, was amazing. From all the different places that he went, and it became apparent to me, and I spoke on that, that happened for a reason. He went to all of those different places for a reason. He didn't stay one place. He went to all those places so he could connect with all those people, impact all those people, be impacted by all those people at the different places. And so as I thought about that, even with the best 6 years, it became apparent to me what the decision was. My journey has been unique, to say the least. But I believe everything that I've been through has prepared me for this moment at this place right now. I also believe everything happened exactly how it was supposed to happen, when it was supposed to happen. And that'll be clear someday that all of it did. Our program here at LSU will be designed top to bottom to be the number one destination for elite players in all of America. That's why we're here. Our immediate priority is assembling the best staff in the country and securing top talent. The mission is simple. Bring the best players in the country to LSU. And it starts right here in the state of Louisiana. To win big, as you go through this decision and you look at different places and all the things involved, to win big, you need everybody pulling in the same direction. And I felt through this process that definitely the leadership here at LSU was all in line and all in place to give us that. I know that we have, with the passion of LSU family and our LSU players, that we have everything to bring championship football back to LSU. It's time for LSU to take its place back as the best program in all of college football. And that's what we're here to do. So thanks for everybody showing up. Thank you for believing in me. Let's go to work and go Tigers. Appreciate that. You didn't want to stand up, Landry. Questions?
Yeah. Wilson, you're in the front. Wilson, yep. Andrew, you talked about how happy you were at all this. And that's a team that's on the cusp of the top. But, what drew you away from that into this place, especially kind of at this moment?
Yeah. Great first question. That was, as I referred to, that was excruciating and difficult. And like I said, we tried every possible thing for a long time the other night and into the morning. As you saw, the team meeting announcement get pushed back because we were trying to get that done. And I'm very grateful for the chancellor there and Keith Carter, you know, that they listened. We presented a plan how that could be done and give the players there the best chance to win in the playoffs. And at the end of the day, that's their decision. And I respect that. And made a good point. You know, that may make sense to everybody outside why the best thing was to keep us all together for the playoffs. It may make sense to all the national media why that makes sense to do that. But, you know, like he said, he has to live there. And I totally respect that. And I respect their decision and so appreciative for them.
Lane, right up the middle here. Michael Cobble, WBRZ-TV in Baton Rouge. You know, Verge talked about your resume, I guess. Just why do you feel like you've been successful over the last handful of years in this ever-evolving college football landscape?
Yeah, I think we've been very successful because we've had great players. We've been very successful because we've hired great assistants that fit together. I think that college football has changed a lot over the years. And I think that a thing that we do extremely well is, you know, we don't just think outside the box. We create a new box. The way that we do things is not traditional, and just because in the book of coaching, this is how we do it, or it was done that way before. We're always looking for new ideas, trying to figure things out, and that started years ago with the innovative offense and changing the style of offense that we played over the years. Having a unique offense that I don't feel like is anywhere else in America by the system that we have, and how it's run. And then with that, you know, from high school then into portal recruiting and embracing that and embracing the portal and figuring out a way to put the best collection of players together where we were at. And, you know, I think the record shows we did a really good job of that.
Lane down here in front, Corey Diaz with the Daily Advertiser. I'm wondering if there are things that you can share with your conversations with your mentors and whomever else you sought out to make this decision. What were some of the things that they shared with you that sort of helped sway you one way or the other?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was a really difficult decision. And when you're in those difficult decisions and you're torn, very torn, back and forth, and there's multiple options, you know. There were really, you know, four different places, you know, that we had to think about in this. And I just talked to them, and then it really was apparent to, I felt like everybody that I talked to outside of the state that I was in all basically said the same thing, okay? They all said, man, you are going to regret it if you don't take the shot and you don't go to LSU. It's the best job in America. It's the best resources, and to win it. And it's obviously been done here before by a number of people. And, you know, Pete Carroll, really, he told me, you know, that he always told my dad that he'd look out for me. And so when we were talking, he really channeled him, at, you know, from knowing him for so long. And he said, this is exactly what he would do. He would tell you, boy, go get it. Go for it. And, you know, Coach Saban kind of coached at another place in this conference, so I can't really say exactly what he said, but I'll say I think the world of Coach Saban, and I respect him, and so there's a reason I'm here.
On your left, Coach. Shea Dixon with On Three. Obviously, you're known as one of the top offensive minds in football, and I think for a long time people have tied that to the Bryles offense. Over the years, what have you changed, adapted, that you would consider now the identity of what your offense is?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we have the most unique offense in the country, and because of learning from so many people along the way, you know, we hired Art's son, Kendall, at FAU, and then learned a ton from the Bryles family about offense and that whole system. And then really combined that over what we had done over the years at USC, at different places, at Alabama, and then said, okay, what if we combine these two and take this up-tempo spread system, but then really still do it with problem plays, problem formations that, remember, I really grew up really under three people. My dad for my whole life, Monty Kiffin, then Pete Carroll, then Nick Saban. So really, I basically spent the majority of my life with those three defensive minds. Over time, always listening to them, what gave them problems, as three of the best defensive minds to ever coach this game. I mean, how blessed am I that I got to be around those three people? And then think about, okay, combine all that they said and put this thing together. And so, it's been a great offensive run because of that. And, you know, we're not going to get up here and talk about individual numbers and stuff like that. But if you research them, you know, I would say, you know, over the last whatever, since we left Alabama, so that's 9 years. Okay, if you take points yardage, that's the number one offense combined in all of college football.
Hey, Coach. Jacques Doucet, WAP-TV here in Baton Rouge. You mentioned it a little bit. What are your memories of coming here as an opponent, playing in Tiger Stadium, and how do you feel now to have that arena in your corner as the head coach?
Yeah, it feels good to be on that sideline. Been here a number of times. You know, now that you say it, I think about it. I've been down there in what you guys have watched for a long time, and I would say that you would probably say two of the most intense times and feelings, and those were two overtimes, one at Alabama here, and then one at Ole Miss here in the overtime 2 years ago. And, God, man, that feeling on the other sideline, all the way from the warm-ups, of those night games. I mean, it is not. I coached a lot of places, okay, and a lot of road games, NFL, college. There is nothing like the feeling when you're on the other sideline and the intensity that you feel. It's like a weight that you feel. You know, I've talked to head coaches who have been here before, obviously. Okay, and they talk about like feeling on the other sideline, like how they feel lifted up by the crowd and the intensity. Well, when you're on the other sideline, you feel it the other way, and especially as you get to crunch time and overtime at night. So I felt that, and I always thought to myself, man, what if we had that advantage on our side? So if we combine what we do, the way that we coach players, the systems that we run, and now we have that intensity on our side for the opponent to deal with, again, that's how all it painted all together to say, and this is where you're supposed to be.
Hey, Lane. Glenn West, 24/7 Sports. You mentioned some of the immediate needs you want to kind of address here with the program. Wondering if you can just talk about maybe some of the people you might be bringing with you on this coaching staff offensively and just your thoughts on the defensive staff that's already in place here.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I don't know that I can get into it. There's so many things. What have we been here for 24 hours? So I don't know that all that is figured out, and we're still in the process. And it's a challenging spot too, because LSU is still playing in a bowl game too, and so Frank will continue to serve in that role. We've spent a lot of time together, you know, the last 24 hours as I've been here, and less than 24 hours, and so have made the decision that he's going to still stay in that role as the head coach of that team for the bowl game. So there's a lot of complicated moving parts in that, but we'll definitely have that answer for you soon. Thank you.
Back, Mike. Lane, Mike Scarborough with TigerBait.com. Is there anything that surprised you in this process with talking with Virg in the last few weeks and or since you've been here? And is there anything specifically that you can share that Nick Saban told you in your phone conversations with him about this job?
Yeah, I just felt, in all respect to the other three programs, I just felt the passion through Verge, and obviously he's in a unique spot as having been here so long and played here and been part of so many championships and been around so many championship coaches, that I just felt that passion and I felt that alignment from everyone, from president, from the governor, so it just became apparent, like, that alignment of all being there, and other places have good alignment, but it was like the entire state of everybody that I talked to at some point, okay, was aligned that the number one thing in this state is to get LSU football back to the championship level where it was at before. That's very unique to have everyone in the state, okay, on the same page to get the same thing done. And so it's pretty awesome. And again, it's why we went through a really challenging time and a really difficult decision and a great place where we were at and great support to have to make the decision to leave there, okay, as over the 6 years there. A lot of opportunities to leave, including in this conference, very prominent programs, and never did. And it came down to that at the end of the day. The only one we were leaving for was once we felt this alignment and passion at LSU.
Lane, right down here, Bryce Kuhn with On3. You've talked, I guess, this season about how important I guess reconnecting with your family has been, and I guess the reported trip down to Baton Rouge a couple of weeks ago, how important was it for your family to feel on board with this, and what were some of those conversations like with them over the past 24, 48 hours?
Yeah, this, you know, as a football coach, it's awesome in so many ways. But it's very challenging when you make decisions versus probably what I would think most of you guys go through, meaning you're at this place that you really love. And your family loves it. And you've had this amazing 6 years. And these opportunities come, and it's like, okay, are you going to come? And you don't really know anything except for the stadium at the places, because that's really all you've ever been, is in the stadium. And then you, your family, your brother's family, and his four kids, like, are all going to move there. So I have to make this decision, okay? But I have none of this information, okay, about what the neighborhoods are like, what the people are like, what the schools are like. I have none of it. So, you know, it's not ideal, but it came down to, well, I'm not going to go as a head coach of a place to go, because even though most people do that and they spend a weekend somewhere in other professions and go to the schools and restaurants to get a feel for it in neighborhoods, and they make a decision, and sometimes, you know, they take 4 months to relocate and stuff in the real world, and that doesn't happen. You get on a plane and you go. So I just thought it was really important when they offered, you know, to have the family come down without me and get a feel for it. And it was very important, because that went a lot into the decision. I don't know that I could have made the decision or certainly couldn't have made it and felt good without everybody on board like it was after going to multiple places and coming back and saying, hey, we're all in. We're all in to go to Baton Rouge and go to LSU.
Hi, Lane. Matt Moscona from ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge. I'm curious, how much did an NIL plan in this new true third-party NIL era factor into your decision? And what can you share with us about the plan LSU laid out for you?
Yeah, great question. You know, in that, when you talk about the, you know, four places and making a decision, okay? I said through the process, okay, I'm never going to make a decision on money. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know what my contract is here. That's not very financially responsible, okay? I'm sure it's really good, okay? I don't know what it is, nor did I know at the other places what the numbers were. Because I said in the beginning, I told Jimmy Sexton, don't tell me the numbers, okay? I want to make a decision that has nothing to do with money for me. Now, tell me the numbers in the plan for what the money is for the players, because that's everything in that area to me, okay? Not what I make, what they make, to understand how can you build this. And if you're going to make a change and you're going to move and all these people are going to move and you're going to do all this and go through all that, which was a very challenging, obviously, last 48 hours, in a lot of ways sucked. It's the only way I can describe it. It sucked for a lot of people. And there was no way to possibly do it, in my opinion, any better than we did from a timing standpoint, because it's a bad scheduling system of how it's set up. And eventually, hopefully, it gets like the NFL where you can't do that in the season and don't have to make those decisions. But but in that, it was very important and very critical. And Verge and his team had a really, really good plan. And even talked to some donors that are part of that plan here to see exactly how does that work. And there's a great plan here. There's a great plan of how we can come together with what we bring and what players around the country want to play for us and play in our systems, and then have that support to be able to do that so that they want to play for us and they get taken care of financially, which obviously nowadays is the world of college football, and it's very important and critical to them, which it should be. And this was the best setup. So that definitely played a factor into it. Because you, I don't care what your systems are, without good players, they don't work. So I actually asked today about my contract, not the numbers, I still don't know them. And I said, hey, just in case I get asked on it. And he said, basically, all four were extremely similar, okay, contracts for me. But in the process of figuring out the NIL packages, those were not similar. Those were not the same. And that's a big part of it.
Jared in the back.
Elaine in the back over here. Jared Paul Joseph, WGNO in New Orleans. How have you felt mentally and emotionally from the optics of having to leave Oxford to the booze to landing here to the cheers? How has that been for you in those aspects?
Yeah, you know, time heals a lot of things, and having gone through this in this conference before, I sure hope that happens. I sure hope that the people there and the fans there as time goes, can focus on the amazing 6 years, the greatest football run in the history of the school, okay, the greatest regular season ever in the history of the state just happened there, and I really hope they can focus on that. And where we were able, with the support of people there, where we were able to put the program on a national stage that it had never been at before and maintain it there for a number of years. So it was very hard, and it was really challenging, and it is, man. It's the passion of the SEC, so I understand that. So I don't get emotional with it yesterday like so many people get emotional, you know, like that, and they change like that, because we spent 6 years there, and that airport scene, and Knox and I driving, and people trying to run us off the road, man, and the things they said to us, and then we got here, and we had been here for 6 minutes, and how, we love you, coach, you're the best ever. And like, we only been here 6 minutes, we ain't done anything for you yet. That's the SEC, and I've been around long enough to know that, and it's just the passion of the SEC, and so I'm not upset at those reactions, you know, by fans, by people, and, you know, I think that people get really upset when you leave somewhere because they feel hurt because you're doing a really good job. They ain't going to the airport and driving from all over, okay, to say those things and yell those things, okay, and try to run you off the road if you were doing bad. So, you know, I just look at it as passionate people in the SEC, and then it means they really liked what we were doing there. And I think because of the way the players played, because of the way the assistant coaches coached, and the performance we put out on the field, okay, is why we ended up in the situation that we were having to decide from all these different places.
Yeah, right here in the front, Ron Higgins, Freeport Bossier Journal. You talk with Florida, and you talk with LSU. What did Virg Ausbury say to you, maybe the first time you talked to him, that you thought, that's exactly what I want to hear?
I'm going to leave you alone and let you coach the team. I like when I hear that. We're going to give you everything to win. I'm going to leave you alone and go coach the team and bring us championships. So, you know, Virg isn't real long-winded in those meetings as some other people, and he gets right to the point. And, you know, I really like that. And so he sparked my interest from the first time I talked to him.
Lane, Cokie Riley from The Advocate. With the signing period starting on Wednesday, what's the structure in place to bring in these recruits, still recruit guys, potentially have some flips? Like, what's the structure in place now for the recruiting signing day?
Yeah, so, you know, when it was asked before about the staff and the current roster, all that stuff, the number one focus after arriving here and walking in the facility last night, which really was awesome. Sorry to sidetrack, so make sure I don't forget your question. But man, landing here at that airport and then the leadership showing up and the whole board being there, what was, I mean, you could feel it right there, you know? So as you've probably figured out, it was a really, really hard decision. And I was really torn and I went back and forth, you know, didn't sleep very much trying to figure it out. And the system didn't allow for a lot of time to do that, you know? And it was really hard. And, you know, I'm human. You don't like, even though you understand it's the passion, you know, you're with your son and you're driving and, you know, you gotta call a cop that you know, so they'll help you, because you personally know them because you are leaving the state. And you got to call him because, you know, you drive with your son and you got to turn around. And people are like screaming at you, you know, trying to run you off the road. I don't know what they're going to do. And so that affects you. In that airport scene and all the things being said, I understand it. It's the passion. But they're saying that about you, that you thought you did a really good job for 6 years for him. That affects you. And even on the plane down here, I'm kind of like, man, we made this decision, but God, I really, you know, and I'm telling you, I landed last night. I can't even remember when it was, okay? We landed, okay, about 24 hours ago. And when I got off that plane, and I saw the board there, and I saw the leadership, and I felt the power of this place. And then we get in the car, and as we're driving out, and there's the fans, like just all of them out there at the airport, and their excitement and their passion. And then the cars drive by as we're going to the office, and you go by Tiger Stadium, and it's lit up. And you're like, I absolutely made the right decision. And it all went away. Then you walk into the facility, and myself and the coaches, our general manager, like you walk in, and I'm like looking around, and I'm like, God, like it's like we're in the NFL. Like everything is so amazing in that facility, and it's so powerful. And the national championships and the Heisman trophies and the way the whole building's done, you're reminded you are at the elite program in all of college football, the same that those two coaches just told me and reminded me. And then I was like, actually, we're going by Tiger Stadium. I called one person. I called Ed Ogeron. And I said, hey, man, all I can do is, man, this place just makes me want to talk like you right now. I did. I was like, we were in the car, and the kids were in there, and I was like, and the coaches, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like channeling Ed right now. I was like, I'm feeling him. Like, I rolled down the window, and I was like, go Tigers to the fans. And I'm like, so I called Ed. I said, I don't know what's going on, man, but I'm feeling you right now. And he's like, coach, you're at the best place in America. So I feel that. So as I thought I would do, I have no idea what your question was. See, that's good planning that I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, just the structure you guys are going to have for the signing day.
Yes.
With the staff and how that's going to work out.
Okay, so that was the number one priority and is the number one priority right now. We're on that. It goes dead where we can't go out right now. Yesterday, people could come up to the office. Obviously, I can't name them individually. The recruits, but so that is our number one focus right now, is to sign the best class that we possibly can Wednesday. Also, we have big picture thinking too. So we're not reaching or we're not signing kids because they're from this school or any of that stuff. Okay, we're going to sign the best players that we can on Wednesday, then go to the portal, which I have zero concern about the interest of players with that, because I know what the interest was of players nationally to come play for us where we were just at. And now when you put that with this stadium, with that logo, I mean,
we got time for two more, Rab, and then Ross.
Makes me want to go get on the phone right now, but the portal's not open.
Scott Rabelais, also with the Baton Rouge Advocate. I read where you've said you're at a place in your life where you want to live day by day, take things day by day. But this move, do you see this as a career-defining move for yourself?
Yeah, I hope so. I definitely do. And I do take day by day and have learned to do a much better job at that as I've gotten older. And, you know, this is really unique. I'm uniquely prepared at 50 years old for this job, to have been so many places, done good things, made a lot of mistakes, and made them really early on. You know, like someone said, you made mistakes on the national stage at an age in your 30s and early 30s that coaches aren't even head coaches yet, let alone they're not on the national stage. So I got to learn from those. I'm 50. This is my sixth head job. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever done that. So it's not necessarily great in some ways. They weren't all by choice. But what that does is, if you take all that information and you keep it and you collect it and you learn from the good, from the bad, that's experience. Just like an experienced quarterback's a lot better later on. An experienced coaches. And some of those coaches, especially those two I talked to, they would tell you, man, at this age right now, where I am, is when they really figured it all out. You know, I think I may be wrong on this. I bet you that Coach Carroll's probably 50 when he takes USC, and Coach Saban, when he takes Alabama, is 55. So, you know, you figure things out as you go with all those experiences and having multiple head jobs like they had before, and then you become even better.
Ross? Ross Dellinger. Lane, when Ole Miss administrators told you Saturday night, kind of finally, that you won't be able to coach the playoff, how much did you seriously consider not taking this job to stay and coach the playoffs? And the last few days, how much do you think it impacts your legacy, or do you care?
Yeah. Glad you're here, Ross. Thanks. Just so smooth and everything. So, even though my man Ross was hiding out in a car following me, which is a true story, I appreciate the effort. And he's like, texting, he's like, I see you going into the AD's office right now. It's a true story. But first, it wasn't until Sunday, that's why things kept getting pushed back, that I was told that we couldn't keep this thing in place and coach the playoffs. So I'd already made the decision at that point and informed them Saturday night, that this is what we were going to do. And that was a really hard conversation with Keith, really hard. And kept trying to work through, okay, all right, yes, there's disappointment in that, but how can we do the best, knowing that I'm going to be the head coach of LSU for the future down the road, how could we do the best interest and of the players and give the players the best chance to win and make a run at the national championship in playoffs and most likely, as I said, their most historic sporting event in the history of the state of Mississippi, a home playoff game. And it didn't work out. And it came back the next day. It's why there was a team meeting, whatever it was, 9, and then, you know, thought it was going that direction. We met with the players. I was in there with Keith, you know, and the players said, okay, let's do this. And I get it. I understand it, you know. And they just couldn't wrap their head around doing that. And I understand it. And I respect that. So that's why everything took so long. So I did not know the final decision that we couldn't tell 30 minutes before that team meeting, when he called over and said, okay, well, we're going to go a different direction. We can't wrap our heads around this. And, you know, unfortunately, which again, I respect. And they said, you know, you're not going to be able to talk to the team and tell the team, you know, that you're leaving. So I hate that. I hate that I didn't get to explain to the players why, but I also totally respect and understand any decisions they felt they had to make, you know, for the program. Thanks, guys. Appreciate everybody coming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back
and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.